Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode. Over the next few weeks, we'll examine a doctrine, that of justification, and see how it applies to our lives. This doctrine is really rich and deep, but also is very practical in the sense of how it applies to our lives on the daily. And so I want to examine it. We'll look at it from a few different ways. Essentially, we want to look at today, what does it mean to be justified? There are two things that you and I need to keep in mind that's very important, two distinctions, if you will, in our Christian life. The first one is our standing. The second one is our state. Our standing is complete in Christ. As a believer, someone who's put their faith in Jesus Christ, you are complete in Christ. It is final, it's perfect. But our state, we're growing in Christ. It's fluid, it's progressive. So essentially, our standing is our justification. Sanctification deals with our state. And as we come to the book of Romans, there are a lot of big Bible words. It's a deep theological book. And Paul writes in great detail about the true condition of man, the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, but also how you and I should live as a result. As I said, it's full of big words like salvation, reconciled, redeemed, imputed, justified, and so forth. And so we want to look in detail at this word justified, or as we would describe the doctrine justification. It deals with this question: how can I, as a sinner, be accepted by a holy and righteous God or righteous judge? Ultimately is this: how can I be right with God? And we see it played out in Romans chapter 3. Chapters 1 and 2, he really deals with the reality of who you and I are. Chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is the summary or summation, if you will, of all he's teaching. Then he says this: being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And he goes in to say, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And he goes in at verse number 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. And so justification, I know it's a big word, but we're going to try to break it down and see how it applies to you and I. It's a judicial term, meaning to clear from any charge. Ultimately is this: to declare a person innocent of whatever charges were brought against him. At its core, it means this: to declare righteous. But we must make a distinction. It does not mean to make righteous. It means to declare righteous. And so we could define it this way: justification is God's instantaneous act in which he forgives all our sin and gives us Jesus' righteousness, which allows us to be declared righteous in God's sight. So ultimately, justification is this: God takes away a negative, but he also adds a positive. And we'll look at that in detail as we walk through our episode. So first of all, we learn that you and I need to be justified. Why is that? Because we're all guilty. Chapter 3 of Romans just walks through and it just says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And he comes down and sums it up in 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ultimately, we've all broken God's law. If you've ever lied one time, if you've ever taken something regardless of its value, if you've ever disobeyed your mom and dad, if you've ever put God in second place, if you've ever taken God's name in vain, ever one time, any of those, you are guilty of breaking the law. You say, well, I've never murdered someone. Well, Jesus said to hate someone is equal to murder. So we understand we've all broken God's law and we deserve the punishment or the consequences due for breaking the law. And that's separation from God for eternity. It's eternal punishment in hell. We all need to be forgiven. God offers all forgiveness for all their sins. Verse 22 says this: even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto, watch this, all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That little word all is powerful because it's all encompassing. All means all, and that is all can mean. So God offers all those that will come to him, forgiveness for all their sins. There's no one that's too bad, no one that's not worthy enough. Whatever you've done, you cannot do something bad enough for which Jesus' blood cannot forgive you. And so we understand we need to be justified, and we are justified by faith, not by works. That's what we learn here in our passage. We're justified by faith. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So Paul is very clear and to the point that there is absolutely no work, no good deed, no good action, nothing we could ever do to earn justification. Why do we lean that way? We have this idea for some reason that our good will outweigh our bad. Or maybe we feel that nothing can be free, so there must be something I have to do. Maybe out of pride, we feel like we need to do something. But works can never justify us, because good deeds do not meet God's standard. They are the opposite of what is required. And there's not enough good you and I could do to overturn or erase or cover up, if you will, our bad. You see, when we get in trouble, as a kid, maybe you think about it this way, or if you have children, you know, they get in trouble, they'll all of a sudden run around trying to cover up the wrong that they did with good. They'll be overachievers, if you will, in the good department. While it is a good attempt, it does not deal with the actual wrong that you did. So what is the purpose of the law? The law was not meant for you and I to keep it. The law was given for you and I to understand we are sinners. It was given to reveal God's standard and reveal our sin. It measures our distance from God. It helps us to see that He's holy and we are nowhere close. And so we are justified only by faith, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That is what verse 28 says. So we're justified freely by grace. Grace is a free gift of God, given out of love. We are justified purely out of God's love for you and I. We're justified by the instrument, if you will, the channel of faith. Justification is given by God to men, to you and I, through who? Jesus Christ, through faith. Faith is that instrument or the channel of faith. Nothing else. Justification comes after our faith and in response to our faith. It comes the moment of salvation. He would go in chapter 4 and give us the example of Abraham, how that he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So you and I cannot pay off what we owe. And so the conclusion is that you and I are justified by faith without the law. Galatians 2:16 summarizes the same idea, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. It's so interesting that so many religions will put the emphasis on works. Works to receive salvation, works to keep your salvation. You see that you need to do this, this, and this, or you must do this. And if you don't do these things, then you're going to lose your salvation. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Strip away all the denominational names and just come to the Bible and you see that we're justified freely by grace, and grace is a gift. And so we're, as a result, and this is where the rubber hits the road, if you will, we are just in God's sight. So I said there are two parts or two things that occur in justification. God takes away a negative, but he also adds a positive. The negative is this: you have your sins forgiven. He takes away the negative. When God justifies us, we are acquitted or declared not guilty in advance of the final judgment in Revelation 20. We see in Revelation 20 the white throne judgment, where everyone will give an account that has not put their faith in Christ for their sin. They will stand before a judge and be judged righteously. But God, because of justification, declares you and I innocent of all charges of breaking his law. When someone is found not guilty in court, guess what? All the charges have been wiped from their record. Whatever they were charged with is no longer on their record because they were found guilty. You see, we have no penalty through justification to pay for our sin, both past, present, or future. You and I are released from the liability of our sin. The eternal consequences of sin are canceled, but there are still temporal consequences of sin that you and I have on earth, and we see that. But God takes that away, and understand that it is the sin of our past, present, and future. All our sins were future to Jesus. David says that God has cast our sins as far as it is the east is to the west. You know, north and south, you will touch if you go north or south. But if you go east or west, there's never an ending point. It just goes around the earth and around. You can keep going east as far as you want to. You never hit a pole. But if you go north, you'll hit a pole. If you go south, you'll hit a pole. But it's interesting that David said he cast our sins as far as the east is to the west, meaning all our sins are forgiven. And so the first part, yeah, he takes away that negative. But a beautiful part is he adds a positive. And it's this word impute, and he imputes Jesus' righteousness to us. We are restored into a position of favor and acceptance with God. Why? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So imputed means this, to credit something to another's account. When a person calls on Jesus to save them, he or she is placed in Christ. This is what makes him or her righteous. It is Jesus' righteousness that meets the standards that God has. And so justification is this, is declaring a person righteous, not making or altering the person's moral or spiritual condition. Understand that. It is declaring the person righteous, not making them righteous. So you and I stand before God as innocent or righteous. This does not mean we are at the moment, but we will be in heaven. And this is the standing that allows us to come back to God, to break down that wall, to become not an enemy of God, but to become a friend of God. It allows us to have a relationship with God. So the question is, how can God be just and justify guilty sinners? And I think that's an excellent question. That's what it says in the bottom of chapter 3, verse 26, that he's just and the justifier of sinners. Essentially, the death of Jesus allows God to remain just in forgiving guilty sinners. You see, it's Jesus' sinless life and his perfect sacrifice that settled or satisfied the demands of God. God is not just looking over. The demands of justice have been satisfied. And because his life through faith has been imputed, as the Bible says, placed on our account, you and I are found not guilty. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Forgiveness requires that an innocent life had to be given in exchange for the guilty person. All the way back in the garden, Adam and Eve had to be covered by animal skins, which required what? Required blood. So how do we take our next step in this? Have you been justified? Have you called on Jesus Christ to save you? Has there been a time in your life when you've done that? He died on the cross for you. And if you stood before God on Judgment Day, knowing you've broken his law, would you be guilty or innocent? We would all be guilty. And when we, by faith, call on him, what do we mean by faith? We're venturing trust in him. We're calling out to him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you call out to him, you're placing your faith in him. And at that moment that you call out to him to say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross. Come into my heart and be my Savior. You are justified. And as a result, if you are a believer that's been justified, I would say this, stop living a defeated life. Stop trying to earn favor with God by your actions. We talked about that in a past episode, about the older brother syndrome. We think we can barter and force God to be good to us because of our moral action. No. Live a victorious life because of the person God has made you to be. Live like the person God sees you as. Not as a terrible, awful sinner, but as a child of God, as Jesus Christ, his own son. And so live a life in victory over sin. And then lastly, you cannot lose your salvation. Justification is a done deal. It can never be undone. There's so many reasons why we cannot lose our salvation, and this just adds one more to it. If God has already forgiven all of your sins through justification, both past, present, and future, there is nothing that you can do today or tomorrow to ever lose your salvation. Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.